This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to another edition of All Things Armenian. I'm Professor Barlo Dermogradichian, your host. I'm with the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State. It's great to be back with you again this week. Our show this week will be featuring different types of Armenian music, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to give our listeners some updates about what's happening at the Armenian Studies Program and out at Fresno State. Just this week, the first week of December, the students published our High Sharjum newspaper, the Armenian Action newspaper. It's the December issue of that newspaper, and it features stories which cover the activities of the Armenian Students Organization and Armenian Studies Program. And it's very easy to access because all the stories are up on a website at highsharjum.com. That's highsharjum.com. And that is the website for High Sharjum. We're featuring stories about two of our students, Mickey Walkup and Sarkis Tatarian, who spent a summer in the American University of Armenia. We've got stories about our radio station that we're looking at. We have stories featuring students also who were involved in a variety of activities, including the new officers of the Armenian Students Organization. And then, of course, it covers things like our lectures, concerts, and some of the activities of the faculty. So make sure you go and visit that website at highsharjum.com. Now, next semester, we have a special benefit concert coming up of the Armenian Studies Program. It's called the House of Hope Merhuis Benefit Concert. It's going to take place on Saturday, February the 22nd, 2020. And the concert is going to take place at Fresno State. And it will feature people such as pianist Michael Kerkorian and some singers and just a really nice program. And all of the income that comes from that special benefit concert is going to be going to the Merhuis program in Armenia. And the Merhuis program helps girls in Armenia who come from very, very disadvantaged lifestyles. And they get to live at this home, which provides them with all different types of support, education, in order that they are able to mature and to become self-sufficient. So that will take place on February the 22nd, 2020, at Fresno State. It's the House of Hope Merhuis Benefit, and the Armenian Studies Program is going to be a co-sponsor as well. Now today, our program, as I said, will feature a Fresno State student, Andrew Hagopian, who's here today to talk about a musical instrument that is frequently seen in traditional Armenian music and in traditional Armenian music ensembles. So I'd like to welcome, first of all, Andrew Hagopian to All Things Armenian.
Good afternoon, Professor Dermogradichian, and thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah, it's great. Today he's going to be talking about, as I said, the musical instrument called the oud. And Andrew is the grandson of Richard Hagopian, and Richard Hagopian is well known within the valley, the country, and the world as one of the premier performers on the instrument called the oud. And Andrew, how did you actually first begin to play the oud, or was that actually your first instrument that you played?
My first instrument, interestingly enough, was the piano. My parents were very insistent that I learn piano first. That way I can acquire knowledge of music theory, chord progressions, all that comes along with learning the piano. And actually, that would be my word advice to anyone learning an instrument, to pick up the piano first, because you can learn any other instrument much easier in that case. So my first instrument was the piano, And then in 2010, I actually received a grant from the state of California. I became a member of the Alliance for California Traditional Arts, and I learned the kanun. I was an apprentice with my grandfather, Richard Agopian.
So you actually, do you remember the first time you actually began to play an instrument? Like when you were, how little you were, how small you were, how young you were?
I started playing music, well, I should say, not actually playing, but experimenting with music at about the age of 3-4 years old on a little drum, pounding out certain beats. And it wasn't until later in my young life that I actually started learning the instruments themselves.
Actually, you were playing or performing or with music before you could speak, right? Or before Yes. You did speak.
In a sense, yes.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to be talking today about the oud. So let's introduce our listeners to the instrument itself. What is it? Where is it used? How is it used? And give us some background on the instrument.
Well, to begin, about the time that the Crusades came into the Middle East, the oud was actually called al-oud. But being that they couldn't pronounce that too well, it became the oud. The oud is a non-fretted instrument. It has 11 strings tuned in unison, 4 notes tuned in fourths, and 2 notes in octaves, as I will demonstrate. The back of this instrument is usually made out of strong woods, such as walnut wood, along with an ebony fingerboard and an unfinished spruce face. This is an acoustical instrument made completely out of wood. As we moved into the 21st century, like everything else, we've seen modifications to this instrument. Nylon strings have come into play, round strings have come into play. Amplification, very important. You can imagine that an acoustical instrument in a room such as this sounds very good, but when you're playing in a room that seats hundreds of people, you would just be going through motions, basically.
Well, the way you explained it, you said it's been since the time of the Crusaders. That would be back at least 1,000 years. So I think what you're saying is that this instrument has been used in Armenian culture for a very long time.
Yes, actually, the instruments of Armenia are mostly borrowed from surrounding empires of the time. The oud is not an Armenian instrument. It's an instrument that belongs to the Middle East and the Near East. Actually, the only instrument native to Armenia is called the duduk. It's a double-reeded instrument that has a very mellow sound, and usually two play together. One is called a drone, and the other one plays the melody, and they play through a method where they breathe in through the nose and keep blowing, and that creates a sustained sound. Now, that doesn't mean that Armenians didn't use these instruments, as I said, because when you look at ancient Armenian manuscripts that they've transcribed for the Bible, you'll see in there pictures of the oud, pictures of the kanun. And those date back to at least the 12th century.
Yeah, those are miniature paintings in Armenian manuscripts, and they help to give us a sort of a historical view of the use of that instrument. Can you just demonstrate again with the strings on the oud, some of the notes that are played, and a little bit about the idea of the double string, and maybe how that's how you strike it and how that sounds?
Well, I'm a right-handed oud player, so I hold the pick in my right hand. This pick is actually just a nylon strap, zip tie, basically. And we sit there for hours with a piece of glass, and we shave it down until it's smooth enough and it's thin enough to play with. And we strike the strings both in unison together. They're tuned exactly alike for one note. You get the tone.
So each two strings is actually, each of them by themselves is the same note?
Yes, that is correct. There's 11 strings, however, there's only 6 notes that are produced with each string.
Now, I think the pick is interesting also because I remember that your grandfather uses picks made from bird feathers. Is that right? Tell us a little about that.
Well, as I said, over years we've had modifications, and coming to the United States, even the strings were different. They had catgut or gut strings. And as we moved into the 21st century, we start seeing nylon strings because they hold up much longer and they wouldn't break after 3 songs. The same thing goes for the pick. they used to play with what they had, an eagle feather. Eagle feather is a very strong type of feather. It's a very strong material. Mm-hmm. And it's not as strong as a nylon zip tie, you might say, because, you know, playing dances or parties, you know, by the end of the night, you end up with a pick maybe an inch long with an eagle feather.
Right.
Nylon muzrabs, as we call in Armenian, they last months, you know, without having to replace them.
And these instruments are what were being played by Armenians historically in the area of what comes to us now today as Western Armenia, Eastern Armenia, but areas of the Ottoman Turkish Empire and also in the Russian Empire. So when your grandfather was also young, that's how he kind of learned from the players that had come from the old country, in a sense. And then now you're learning that tradition so that the tradition will continue. And I think today you have a couple of examples. So you're going to start with a song and tell us a little bit about the background of that song and then how that fits into the Armenian musical field.
Well, Professor Dermagdichin, let me say that Armenian music, a lot of it was composed by what we call gusams or troubadours. They were very famous. They all worked either in the courts of kings, and some of them composed versa music simultaneously as they played, in which is very hard. The more famously known one is named Sayatnova. The oldest form of Armenian music, actually, is improvisational music. Now, the improvisation is based on a mode within the Armenian modal system. This sets the mood. The mood can be sad for requiem, happy for joyous events, the list goes on. The improvisation, or as I say in Armenian, taksim, is composed of three parts: the introduction, the body, and the climax. And at the same time, weaving in and out of different modes in order to express a different mood or feeling throughout the taksim. I will start by playing a short taksim, followed by a piece called Bardezum. Bardezum is one of the oldest songs of Armenia still being played today, and this comes from the eastern provinces of Armenia and was composed by a troubadour by the name of Akhshush Sherana. Thank you.
That was Bar de Zoom by Andrew Hagopian. Bar de Zoom actually then in English means in the garden. And for those that don't understand Armenian, it was kind of love lyrics, right? Tell us a little bit about the lyrics to that song.
Well, most of the songs, actually the most common genre within Armenian music is love songs. A lot of people used to sing about love or about even politics, what was going on in daily lives, the village lives. But a lot of the composers of the time were sharing stories of personal stories, love songs basically, either for ones they loved or lost, even friends within the community.
So the process of learning these songs for you was really just by kind of listening to what your grandfather and maybe some other artists were doing on records. And then just practicing and repeating that, is that right? Is that how you learned?
That is correct. Not none of it, but a lot of this music is not notated. So the art of listening and passing this music down generation by generation is really a key factor. You have to really sit down and listen to the music and pick it up by ear. You have to really have a strong ear for the music.
Yeah, actually, this type of music is kind of runs in the family. So your grandfather's band does include members of your family. So tell us a little bit about that. So who plays different instruments? And
well, within the band, my grandfather plays the oud. He leads the band numerous hours at events, from song to song. My father actually learned the clarinet, and that was an instrument that he learned in a high school band and then later applied it to Armenian music because he had a love for the music himself, and he became a member of the band. And my brother, my older brother, Philip Hagopian, he was actually the first of the grandsons to learn the instrument from my grandfather, the oud. He had picked this up from an early age. And in fact, he also was awarded a grant from the state of California. He was a member of the California Alliance for California Traditional Arts. And so through mentorship and listening very carefully to these recordings, we picked up this art.
And the Richard Hagopian Band is well known in our valley because they perform at a lot of different events, including Armenian church picnics and other kinds of events, including weddings and other kinds of things. You've been listening to Andrew Hagopian playing the oud on All Things Armenian. We'll take a break and come back and listen to some more music from Andrew Hagopian.
Yamin e kavkaragi be.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlo Dermagerdich. And during the break, we were listening to a very beautiful song called Dile Yaman. In the Van dialect, and it's a love song about the beauty and memory of Van, sung by one of the premier singers in Armenia, Manik Grigorian. And today is it's kind of fitting that that piece was played, because we are listening today to traditional Armenian music, especially on the oud. And my guest is Andrew Hagopian. He's a Fresno State student, very much involved at Fresno State with being a student, but also a student of music. And he's been giving us some discussion about the oud, the instrument that he performs on. And we had listened to the first song before the break called Bardezum in the Garden, which was sung by Ashuls. And Ashuls are the traditional singer troubadours in Armenian culture. And that goes back many thousands of years, because Armenian music is really tied into just about every aspect of Armenian life, including the Armenian church, religious life, but also into secular life and also into just everyday life. So, Andrew, welcome back to the show. I think you're going to talk about a second song today called Nazbar. So tell us a little bit about the song.
It's Nazbar from the Harpert region, actually. This dance was actually intended for the ladies. They would dance elegantly or dainty with handkerchiefs. The ladies of the village would form a line connecting themselves with extended pinkies, and this is known as a line dance or a bar dance, which was very common in the provinces of Armenia. The holding of the hands or the pinkies, it denotes friendship. So this is a very traditional dance from the villages, and it's been now carried and passed down through generations and brought to the United States, where we still continue to play the song and the dance that follows it. So I will now play Nazbar.
Thank you.
the Nazbar, Harperti song. So it's interesting because you mentioned, of course, dancing. And again, the performances that you give with the band and the music is intended to be done with dancing. And in Armenian dancing, the women usually line up together historically with more, I'd say, gentle dances. They don't move a lot, maybe the upper bodies, hands, while the men are usually involved in much more active types of dances. So at the picnics, you get a lot of different types of dancing today as the tradition continues and as people, you know, learn how to dance while they're listening to the music. So that was, again, the Nazbar from the area of Kharpert. A lot of people from that area of Kharpert came to the valley here. So there used to be even picnics devoted to just the people coming from that area. So you have another piece, or you want to say a little bit more about the Nazbar? Or?
Well, actually, talking about the dances, as we move into the region of Erzurum, or as known as today, Garin, of which my family is originally from, I want to switch up the time meter to a unique meter to the Armenians, which is 7-8 timing. Now, this is a very difficult piece that I'm about to play for those of who understand music. It is a 9-8 and 7-8 in the same measure. This selection has a very interesting bar or dance choreograph to it. Pinkies yet again connected, the dancers dance intricately. Now, some of the steps they do, including the stomping of the feet, are intermingled through the religious life and secular life. When they're doing this stomping, it is said that they are stomping on the dragon's head to kill the dragon, which was St. George, of course, or Surpsarkis, which they commemorate in the Armenian church. And this song is called Yarimo, written by the composer Tatul Altunian.
Okay, so we're going to listen to another piece called Yarimo, performed by Andrew Hagopian on the oud. Yarimo by Andrew Hagopian. You mentioned a little bit about tempo, and you mentioned the 9-8 beat and the 7-8 beat. Can you tell us in your brief words what that actually means in terms of the tempo of the music?
Well, a little explanation. Musically speaking, it's a timing, and these timings are usually choreographed. The dancers will choreograph steps to this rhythm. These time measures are not very well known to Western music. That makes it very unique to the Armenian music and the dancers, especially the dances. The music is very simple because, you know, traditionally folk music is very simple and not as complex. But the dances that go to these are very complex. Some steps, as I said, are religiously and secularly based. You know, the stomping, and sometimes there's the bending of the knees or the crossing of the legs, which we call in the valley grapevine. You know, when we go one foot right behind the other, grapevine, it's very symbolic to the Armenians because grapevines and the grapes of Armenia, it's got a very historical connection to Armenia, the wine and its economy and its history.
So you typically play in performances with your grandfather in a group, but I think recently you've kind of branched out on your own, and you've had played with some groups in the Midwest. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing recently, because I think it's interesting to know that now people are actually asking you to play and maybe put together a band. So tell us a little bit about your recent...
I've been now for the last year branching myself out and taken jobs across the United States, mostly in Michigan, Chicago, the Midwest regions. And there they hold dances where they're trying to preserve the music as well as have a good time, you know. There's a lot of Armenians, especially in the Midwest, that find this music still very appealing and very joyous to dance to and have a good time with.
What's the name of that group that you calling? You called it. It was a Keftime, wasn't it? Type of kind of a legacy band.
Tell they us. We call ourselves the Keftime Legacy Band in tribute to the past musicians of the generation before us. Not obviously not the generation that brought the music, but the generation between, which includes my grandfather, as well as other known musicians from within the States, such as John Berberian, the oud player, Harry Minassian, the oud player, as well as countless other Armenian musician figures within the
country. So it's given you an opportunity to travel. You've been to the East Coast,
yes,
to the Midwest, so the music has done that. Tell us a little bit about your practice and how much time it takes, because I think that would also be interesting for you. How much time do you actually literally practice, let's say per day or per week, on the oud or any of the other instruments?
At this point in my musical career, playing along, I still continue to play when I can, along with records and different musics. I'm continually expanding my repertoire of music to appeal to different groups within the Valley and the States. And so education is a continual thing for me.
But literally, how long would you practice, or do you practice, or do you practice every day or not?
I don't practice every day, to be honest. I like to play at least 2 to 3 times a week. It's natural that I'll sit down in my room or anywhere, for a matter of fact, and just play music because I love it so much. So whether I'm listening to it in the car or on my way to work, to school, there's always Armenian music that I'm listening to.
So in the future, how would you like to expand your musical sort of background, in the sense of like what are your own plans for the, let's say in 10 years, 15 years, where would you like to be musically?
Well, my only goal for this type of thing is to continue the preservation of this music. I want future generations to continue to listen to this music and have an appreciation for it. I mean, it's not every day that you come across an oud player in today's generation or get to see one up close. So for the community to have this part of their history preserved is very important. I think it's one of the things of the Armenians hold close to them is their music, their faith, and their language.
And so you actually began to learn also by just going and visiting your grandfather, and you're obviously close to him in terms of listening. So would he basically just play the song and then have you just follow along? Tell us a little bit about the actual...
The lessons actually consisted not of picking a song and learning it like a typical music lesson would. Like if you were learning piano,
right,
you'd take a score to your teacher and they'd say, okay, you're going to learn this measure by measure. I actually was only taught how to tune the instrument and the different techniques of how to play the instrument. And I also learned the modes, the Armenian modal system, because it's not Western. Because this is a non-fretted instrument, we also have quarter tones or mini tones. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to know exactly where that tone is. For instance, Western music, here's your B. But in Armenian music, we have a quarter tone, so it's not a straight B. We got a little bit flat in there. So you hear that tone of difference. It gives the music its sense, its mood.
How many ouds do you actually own? What do you have? How many are you using?
My count right now is about 3. I mean, I can only play one at a time, but they are definitely collector pieces for sure for me. Right. And all built different time frames. And
you also play kanun, right?
So I do.
Tell us just very briefly about the kanun. And
the kanun is a 76-string instrument. If you thought 11 strings was hard enough, 76 strings is definitely a handful. It is also completely made out of wood with modifications today with nylon strings. We've modified it so that it can also be amplified. But the kanun is a little bit different in the sense that it has a mandal system. A mandal is a little lever underneath the strings, which you can flip up or down. And depending on how you set up your mandal system or these levers, you can create different tones using that. You know, either go sharp or flat. And so it takes a lot of concentration to play well.
Great. This is wonderful. So this is All Things Armenian, and we've been visiting with Andrew Hagopian. We're going to take a brief pause, listen to some more music from Manik Grigorian. When we come back, we'll hear more from Andrew Hagopian playing some pieces on the oud.
Thank you.
Tune in to All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM. Sasna sarerov ekak barov ekak karunkner tsovasar incher tesak karunkner karunkner bingolits sarjur khamik barov ekak karunkner sharshar yer kerov tahov karunkner Karunkner, garip martu sir tavov, ernek dzezi karunkner. Ashkharlat svet barikov, karunkner, karunkner. Pochmek chegner garip vor, karunkner, karunkner. Mashudasht gitem kichnek karunkner karunkner megraget logal gitek barover tak karunkner garnanash nangachvek karunkner karunkner dardu tsaver kaberek yerkutov karunkner Հայրենիք անչափ քաղցրե կրունկներ կրունկներ ուշ գնալ մրմուր ցավե բարով էր թակ կրունկներ շատ մնալ խենթենալե կրունկներ կրունկներ օտարտեղ հոգե հանե բարով էր թակ Karunkner, tıktık mı tamzes berek? Karunkner, karunkner, yaroç bar evner tarek, barover tak karunkner. Ger tak duk merhayrenik, karunkner, karunkner, çunik aşharum gahtnik. Tune in to All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This is All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Barlo Demirgadichian. We were just listening during our break to two songs. The first was a song which was played on an instrument called the duduk. The name of the song was Lorik, and the duduk is a double-reeded instrument. It's a very typical Armenian instrument used in many, many different ways in Armenian music, so that was a beautiful song. And then the second song that we heard was Grunger, and Grung in Armenian means crane, and the crane symbolizes for Armenian people the idea that Armenians who leave the homeland, the country of Armenia, when they're traveling, they're always looking for news and information about their homeland, and the crane brings that to them. And that was sung by Manik Krikorian called Grunger. So that was two wonderful songs that we were listening to. Today we're listening to music and hearing about the Armenian instrument known as the oud. My guest is Andrew Hagopian. We've been listening to him perform and sing on a variety of songs. So welcome back, Andrew.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So we have another song that you're going to be playing, and tell us a little bit about the background of the song before you play it.
So the song is called Marojan, which talks about the region of Tiflis, which is the current capital and the largest city of Georgia. Now, as I said earlier in the show, for those just tuning in, love songs were the most common genre in Armenian traditional music. The gusans, or troubadours, like the Persian ashiks, in fact, frequently sang about current events or about love. Now, the song Marojan expresses a common Armenian theme. It's a mix of love and politics. The man is telling his sweetheart, Maro, not to settle in Tiflis because there is trouble. Marojan Shadmitzaner Pambak, which translates to, "Oh, Maro, my sweetheart, don't plant a lot of cotton." He goes on to explain how he will go and protect the dye for her height and beauty. So, without further ado, Marojan.
John by the Ashuls, and actually you said that this was created in Tiflis, and about 100 years ago Tiflis, which is today the capital of Georgia, was actually a place that was mostly inhabited by Armenians and was a very important Armenian community in that area. You've been playing some of the traditional Armenian music, but that music has also changed as performers are now performing in the United States, and Armenians have been in the United States now for more than 200 years, and here in Fresno for more than 100 years. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the perhaps newer music or music composed here in the United States?
When the first generation of Armenians came to America, a lot of them were survivors of the Armenian genocide that were displaced throughout the diaspora. Some of the musicians went to Egypt. Some went back to Armenia and then came. Some were in Istanbul and then came. And when they arrived, they didn't have a lot to bring with them. They didn't have any homely possessions or worldly possessions, for that matter. All they had was their memory. And a lot of the songs were written either of the villages themselves, life in the villages, and even in some cases, the people they lost during that time. And so it was continued to compose in the traditional way traditional folk music. And so it kept that aspect of it, but the meanings of the songs became more relevant to the current standings at the time. So I'd like to move into now more songs that were composed here in the States. One of the well-known Armenian artists, composers, was named Hrant Kenkulian. And he was a master of the oud. Udi, the title udi, is given to one who is the master of that oud, just this, the master of the oud. And the same case goes for the kanun. It'd be kanuni. You know, this ui is represents the mastery of that instrument. So udi was given to Hrant Kenkulian of his mastery. And actually, my grandfather was a student of Udi Hrant's, and Udi Hrant, during that time, passed down the title to him. So that title has continued to pass down through generations. And so I want to perform one of his more recent Kef songs, as they call it. He was well known for these songs when he came to the United States. It's called Sirun Achchig Sirunyar. And this song basically describes his love of his wife. He's describing his wife's characteristics and just different aspects of their love and his love for her. So I will continue, and this will be our final piece for today, Sirun Achchig Sirunyar.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Sidun Akhchi with Andrew Hagopian. Andrew, it's been great learning about the Yud and listening to some of the different music. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
So that was Andrew Hagopian with some Oud music. This is All Things Armenian. I'm Professor Barlow Dermogradichian. I'm your host. We have a lot of upcoming events starting next semester at Fresno State. So please make sure to visit our Facebook page at Armenian Studies Fresno State, or visit our website, which is fresnostate.edu/Armenian Studies, and you can learn about all of our upcoming events. We'll have some very interesting shows coming up with a variety of guests and learning more about the history and culture of the Armenians. So once again, thank you for joining us today on All Things Armenian, and we'll see you next week.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.